Okay, welcome back, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shaarei. We are learning the Lui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Hashem HaShav Ali, and the Merit of our Torah. We're also coming up to the Yurtzei of Sarah Imenu this coming Tuesday, which is the 11th of Cheshvan, so we should finally be Zocha, finally, Halvai. Mini kolich mi bechri, umeinayich mi dima. You should stop your voice from crying and your eyes from tears. Ki yishchar lepulaseich, all your tears will be rewarded. Nuum Hashem, Hashem promises, so we should be zocha to it. Bimher v'yaminu. So we are on page 72. Okay. So I do have some other insights to share, but I figured what we'll do first is go through some of the Sefer first. And then we'll get to some insights. The reason is we meet Avraham Avinu. Well, we actually meet him at the end of last week's parasha. Avraham Avinu is not only the father of the Ummah Yisraelis and the founder of the Ummah Yisraelis, but he's also the father of Emunah. And specifically in this week's parasha, the pasuk tells us that he had Emunah in Hashem, ve'ha'amin b'Hashem. It's in this week's parasha. Ve'achshav elo tzedak, and Hashem considered it a righteousness for him. So I would like to speak about Avraham Avinu's Emunah a little bit and what it means for us, since this is a class on Emunah. I changed it on my website. I don't remember what it used to say, but I changed it to a while ago. Something to do with Emunah. Okay, so we're on page 72 towards the bottom. And we said, once you have attained inner clarity concerning the existence of the Creator, think of him at least each half hour, then you may continue onward. And we said last time, I think that we do think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu quite often. We're constantly, I hope, having a running dialogue with Hashem, aware of Hashem, thinking of Hashem. If you want to ascertain if you've truly internalized the concept, or if it remained mere words, which do not penetrate into the depth of your soul, of course there's a difference between something which absolutely penetrates within us, and which is something which is just words, mitzvos anashim melumda, things that are on the surface, things that we don't mean. There's a reliable touchstone. What you should do, there are two forces that cause us to remember something. There's the external force, two aspects to an external force, completely external force, such as an alarm clock, and a less external force, such as a mental habit. It's so interesting, when you wake up the same time every morning, what starts to happen? Sometimes I find I wake up 1 minute before my alarm goes off. I can't believe it. I open my eyes, it's 6:14. 1 minute. So that's still an external force, according to the Mechaber. It's still an external force, but it's a mental habit. It's interesting, by the way, that he calls it an external force. Mental habit's an external force. Maybe because it's focused on a habit.
I thought he was referring to the alarm clock.
I skipped over the alarm clock. The alarm clock is really the external one. That's when you're really tired and you don't open your eyes at 6:14. Okay. Both these forces ultimately are superficial. My point is everyone understands how the alarm clock is superficial. But I think that it's interesting that he calls mental habit also superficial. Okay, that's my point. I think that's something that's a little more ingrained in you, but he's going to say that there's a deeper level. And we're not talking about waking up in the morning, although we are. We're talking about waking up in our avodas Hashem. Yisgaber ka'ari, says the Mishnah Berurah. In the very first halacha, yisgaber ka'ari, a person should wake up like a lion, la'avod avodos ha'borah, to do the work of his creator. And the Mishnah Berurah says, if you had an appointment with a basar v'dam, would you not hurry up? Would you not get out of bed? You're going to meet Malach Malachim, Malachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, I don't remember the exact words. Of course, when I leave class, I'm going to remember the exact words. But do not let your Eitzer convince you. I love this. In the summer, you need your rest. You didn't sleep enough. You're going to look at the Mishnah Berurah for me?
No, you want Mishnah Berurah.
I wasn't being sarcastic. I was asking seriously. Yeah. Faria.org might have it. Do not let your yetzer convince you in the summer. You didn't sleep enough. You need to sleep some more. And don't let it convince you in the winter. It's so cold. How could you get up? Get up. If you had an appointment, you would get up. That's what he says. There's also an inner force that stirs up a demand from within. So in other words, this is not your mental habit. This is something deeper than that. For example, if one has not eaten for a day or two, wow, the very beginning. Cool. Amazing. Let's go to Hebrew. Very, very nice. Okay? Thank you so much. Pretty cool stuff. La'avodas boro, for the work of your creator. Ki l'kach nivra, you were created to serve God. Ki l'kach nivra ha'adam. This is why man was created. If your Yitzhar convinces you in the winter and says, Eich tamo beboker ki hakar gadol. Look, when the Chafetz Chaim's day was the same thing. How could you get up in the morning? It's so cold outside. That's what he says. When I wake up my boys at 6:30, they say, "Is it still dark? It looks like you're waking them up in the middle of the night. You're going to the bus stop. It's pitch black." Oh, yes, yenu bakai it's lomar. Or in the summer, this is so interesting. Eich ta'amon mimitascha, in the lazy days of summer, when we come, how could you get up from your bed? Adayin lo savata mishnasecha. You didn't fulfill your quota of sleep yet. Yisgabir alav. You should be a gibor. You should conquer the yitzar. Al yishmalo. Don't listen to him. V'yachshov benafsho. This is what the Mechaber is saying. It's a deeper level. This isn't the alarm clock. This is you. V'yachshov benafsho. Think within yourself. Idu haya nitzrach la'amal d'shar yisuf neymeh. If you had an appointment with a flesh and blood king, I'm not sure there's too many today that you might want to have an appointment with, but if you did, how much you would be on guard and with alacrity to get up early in the morning. You're going to prepare for the meeting. You're not going to look like a schlump, and you're not going to sleep in, and you're not going to prepare snooze. You have an important meeting, or you have to be in the hospital for an important surgery. We've been there, done that. You don't sleep in. You barely sleep the night before. Kol shekein kal v'chomer, ben bino shel kal v'chomer. How much more so? How much more so? How much more so? Before the King of all kings, the Almighty. Thank you so much. Tisku mitzvos. So there is an inner force, last line of page 72, that stirs up a demand from within. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. It has to be from within you. Yachshov benafsho. For example, if you have not eaten for a day or two and you're starving, Chalila, his feeling of hunger does not, you know, I've been reading some, I recently finished a Holocaust book. It was very, very good. Then I just bought a new sefer. There was a Holocaust story in it, and a recurring theme, Rachmana Letzlan Olenu, of Holocaust memoirs. It's something we can't fathom, so I don't say anything lightly. Besides for the horrors they went through that we can't fathom, a recurring theme that the survivors speak about is the hunger. It's a recurring theme that they can't get away from the hunger, that no matter where they are, it gnaws at them. My mother actually just told me, just this evening, she had a worker come, I wish I knew his name, to fix some things in a house in Atlantic Beach. His name is Leslie. If anyone knows him, I don't know. So his father-in-law, Leslie?
Unger.
Is he like a handyman? Okay. So this story is about his father-in-law. He learned to paint in Auschwitz. He was given a job of painting, and he would paint this is Leslie Unger's father-in-law. He would paint the homes of the Nazis. They lived to very high standards. And he realized that he could tell them he had found a way to get milk. He told them the paint's very thin, the texture's not good enough, he needs milk to smooth the paint to make the right consistency. So they started to bring him milk. And at first they would watch him, and he would say, "I need a gallon of milk," when he was painting, and he would pour the milk into the paint. And then he would find ways to steal the milk and not use it in the paint, and he would take it back to the other inmates. And he would share or dish out or apportion the milk to the other inmates. And in this way, Leslie told my mother, he helped many people survive because he was giving people milk, which contains calcium, vitamin D, so many nutrients that they were lacking. A recurring theme in Holocaust memoirs is the hunger that gnaws, Rahman al-Itzlan, to their very core, to their very being, something you can't fathom. You know when the kids go to the fridge and they open the fridge and they say there's nothing to eat? So, for example, if one has not eaten for a day or two, Khalila, and he is starving, his feeling of hunger does not derive from the fact that he sees food. If a person has eaten for 2 days, it's not that you see food that you're hungry. Internally, within yourself, yachshuv benafsho, you're hungry because inside you're hungry. It also doesn't derive from the fact that you ate 2 days ago and therefore it's time to eat again. The person is hungry because the body by nature wakens the person from inside and demands to be fed. If you're intermittent, what is wrong with me? If you're intermittent, I know that one. If you're intermittent, reminders are like an alarm clock. Namely, if you have external reminders to remember Hashem, you're still in the middle of this stage of Avodah. So if you need, listen, by the way, that's a commendable stage. If somebody needs an external reminder to remind them of Hashem, because if I need an external reminder to remind me of Hashem, so then I have to know my level. Then there's nothing wrong with that. It's rather than not remembering him at all, right? What would you rather do, sleep in or have an alarm clock? Go back to the alarm clock, Masha. At least with an alarm clock, what?
You don't way.
You're getting up. It's true. It's an external reminder. You're not at the point yet where you open your eyes a minute before the alarm clock and even beyond that. But it doesn't matter. You're still getting up. So if you're in the middle stage of your avodah, look what he says next. You are working well. It's good. You need an external reminder. It's okay. Go with it. You must continue. But you have not yet attained the necessary inner level. Even if the reminders are mental habits, meaning you have accustomed yourself to think these thoughts, they naturally appear. You have progressed. I don't know, I think it's interesting that someone who has a mental habit, who is already accustomed to thinking these thoughts, and they naturally appear, however, you're not in the superficial stage, you're in the stage of habitual remembrance, but you still have not reached the inner level.
I think, okay. I'm going to tell you a story that I heard about somebody who went to see their Rebbe. And
to which Rebbe?
I don't know who's...
Oh, a Rebbe, okay.
I never remember the character.
Okay.
So, but the Rebbe made a bracha on an apple, and he said, amazing, he made a bracha with a lot of kavana, and the Rebbe saw that the Talmud was, the chassid, wherever, he was like a little bit like, oh, you're just like me. So the Rebbe intuited it and said, oh, you think you're just like me, we both make a bracha on the apple, and I made it with kavana. But you make the bracha because you want to eat the apple. I'm eating the apple because I want to make the bracha.
Okay.
I think the external force, the inner force, that, you know, making the bracha on the apple, we look at the apple and we remind ourselves to think about Hashem and all the, you know, all
okay.
the different kofa, the different nisim that
we So that's the level I'm on.
That's probably the external force, that the apple and making the bracha is triggering us to have emunah. But there are people who might be on a different plane that they are already thinking about all the nisim and all the beautiful things that Hashem does, and they want to make the bracha, and
therefore they eat the apple.
That's my way of looking at it.
Okay. It's like Shalosh Shudos in the winter. You're washing because you have to wash for Shalosh Shudos, not because you... want to wash.
Not because you have to, but because you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah.
Correct. That's what I mean. You want to be absolutely. You want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shalosh Shudos. I'll tell you a funny story about that. This week, no, you're right. I just phrased it wrong. This week, I went to visit someone who lives near Young Israel on Cedars after my Shabbos year. So I walked to their house. I told her, maybe I'll come over in the afternoon. There was no answer. And it was Zman. And I knew I wasn't going to have time to get home. It was about a 20-minute walk from my house. And I hadn't daven mincha, and I had to wash. So I went into Yelk, Young Israel Lord in Cedarhurst, and so I went into one of the small Cyber's registry, Davin Mincha. And then I saw a man in the lobby. I'm like, excuse me, what's going on downstairs now? So he's like, oh, Shal Shudos. So I said, I'm not going to make it home for his man. Do you think I could have a bilkul? And I went downstairs to my husband. I told him the story. He was like, I said, what was I supposed to do? I wasn't going to make it home in time. There I was. He was very nice. He brought me two bilkuls. And the best part of the story is they were whole wheat. I sent him, and they're whole wheat. And I sat down by the side table. And whatever, I washed Shal Shudos. You're right, because sometimes you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and sometimes you're hungry, so you want to wash. And then there's a difference between the two. Okay, I'm still just having a little trouble understanding how a person's mental habits, and you're accustomed to think certain thoughts, and they naturally appear, is still not in the inner level.
It kind of to me sounds like when you sometimes, like, either you use your GPS app and it tells you, like, turn left here, or when you do that, like, kind of automatic driving, where, like, you just know to drive and sometimes you just, like, show up at work. And you're, like,
and you're thinking, how did I even get here?
How did I get here?
Even though you went through all the steps without... Very good. Okay, that helps me. Thank you. That you don't need the external reminder because you're so habituated to driving this route. And then when you get there, you went through all the steps, but how did I get here? Because it's a mental habit.
Right.
Very good. Thank you very much. Very good. Good. Only once you reach the stage in which the soul, of its own accord, demands and desires the recollection... Why is this bothering us? The recollection of the existence of the Creator. You know why? Because the Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is like a fly at the entrance to the heart. And here we're talking about a moon and about the Hashem, so you have a tangible reminder that the fly sits at the entranceway of its heart. Only once you reach the stage in which the soul of its own accord, so it's from the neshama, it's not from habit and you say, how did I get here? It's not from an external reminder, you didn't have ways on. The soul of its own accord demands and desires to recollect, to remember, to think about the existence of the Creator. The Rambam writes about Moshe Rabbeinu. Fascinating biography in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. We're not going to go through the whole thing now, but it's just unbelievable how he came to recognize the Borei Olam. And he says, that his soul was so not at ease and his mind was so bothered. How could this whole world be going and there's nobody in charge of it? He desired and demanded in the level of his soul to recognize and think about the existence of the Creator. Until he came to Kav HaTzadak, the straight line, Derech HaEmes, the true path, when he recognized that there is one true God. He came to it on his own. That is truly from the level of the soul. You know why? Because the Rambam says he didn't have a malamid, and lo modiolo, he had no one to inform him. And the Rambam says his father was an idol worshiper, his mother was a worshiper, other people were accustomed as worshippers, and the Rambam says he worshipped along with them. If I go to Sefaria, which you don't have to do it now, I'm quoting it outside. This is Lashon of the Rambam, Lashon of Kodesh. The Rambam says Avraham Avinu worshipped along with them, because if your father's an idol worshiper, and your mother's an idol worshiper, and all your neighbors and your teachers, and the teacher in Gan, and you're 5 years old, then this is what everybody's doing, so what are you going to do? Also, but he was so unsettled. That's true stirring of the soul. There's no externality. There's no habit, because your habits are different. So where does that awareness of Amunah come from? Something within the person himself. You have assigned Amunah, your keyword Amunah, which is going to be the bridge to go to talk about Avraham Avinu a little bit more in depth. You have assigned that the Amunah you desire is truly present in your soul. So I think Avraham Avinu is an example of this par excellence. He had no external reminders or signs whatsoever. The Rambam calls him Amudo Shele Olam, the pillar who held up the word, eight world, eight Tanza, this strong one. This is present in your soul. You have inquired this level. So with that, let us look at the psukim that precede the Bris Beinah B'Sharim. Wait, does anyone have questions or comments? No? Okay. Avram was the Bechinas Chasad, the pillar of Chasad. He was also the Bechinas Amuda. So after these things, it's Parak Tes Vav in Bereishis. The word of Hashem appeared to Avram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Avram. I will be your shield. Your reward is very great. And Avram said, Hashem Elokim, mati tainli. What can you possibly give me? Vano chi holech ariri. I go without progeny. I go without children. And damesek besi, dola umashka. Eliezer will inherit me. And Avram said, you have not given me seed. And the master of my house will inherit me. So Hashem said, this one will not inherit you, rather the one who comes from within you, he will inherit you. And Hashem took him outside and he said, look at the heavens, count the stars. If you can count the stars, ko yezarecha, so your offspring will be. So he asked Hashem, you know, all these promises that you made for me, lechecha me'artzcha me'ladecha me'beis avicha, v'nivruchu b'chal kamash b'chos ha'adama, v'heye bracha v'agad l'shemecha, you made so many promises to me. But what is it all good? What are all these promises good? If what? If what? There's no child. So what am I going to do with all of this? So I'm going to die at the age of 175, and what's going to happen to all the promises? So, but your children, you'll give this land. So Hashem said, no, Eliezer is not going to inherit. You will have a child from within you. Count the stars. This is how your children will be. And then the very next pasuk, Parak Tesvav, pasuk Vav, Ve'ha'emin b'Hashem. Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem, Vayach Shevelo Tzedakah. Hashem counted it as a righteousness that Avraham Avinu believed in him. So Rashi says there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashva la'Avram l'zchus u'litzedakah, Hashem counted it towards Avram as a merit and as a righteousness, al ha'amunah sheha'imim bo. But we're told, Pashut, straight out, that Avram Avinu was a Baal Amunah. He asked Hashem a question, Hashem gave him an answer. Rashi, interesting, says, what does it mean? He had Amunah, lo sha'alo os alzos. Hashem, Avram was wondering. I shouldn't have said he asked the question. He was wondering. He was wondering. And he didn't ask Hashem for a guarantee or a sign. In other words, when someone makes a promise, you know, give me a guarantee that it's going to come true. Lo sha'alo os alzos. He did not ask Hashem for any sort of sign or guarantee or contract that it will come true. Hashem said, and Avram Avinu believed in Hashem. Okay, then Rashi says, but when it came to Yerushas Ha'aretz, inheriting the land, Avraham Avinu asked him for a sign. So when it comes to the progeny and the children, the offspring, Avraham Avinu didn't ask for a guarantee. Hashem said, and Avraham Avinu believed. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch speaks about Amunah here. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, however, it says, V'ha'amin b'Hashem. Avraham's whole life had been lived be'emunah. Avram's whole life was lived be'emunah. He was given new opportunity to act and to live be'emunaso. Every step going forward was a new opportunity to exercise this great faith. Listen to what he says now. Emuna is the essence of Judaism. What is the first dibra? What's the first dibra? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shezicha Meretz Yisrael. Based on, what is Anochi? It's a tangible mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? It's a declaration. Aseres HaDibros, by the way. Dibros don't, it's not Aseres HaMitzvos, interesting. It's 10 declarations. What is a declaration? A declaration of Emuna. I am Hashem. Emuna is the essence of Judaism. But to define Emuna is belief. We translate because we have to translate. But to define Emuna is belief is to empty the term of its true content. Rav Hirsch says, Emuna does not literally mean belief. Listen how this relates so much to what we're learning. Belief is an act of the mind, and sometimes it's only an opinion. I believe something. It's an opinion that you have. What are you stating? I have this opinion. I was talking to someone who said Trump's going to win in 2020. I said, there's so much that could happen before 2020. I don't think he's going to win in 2020. That's not the point. I believe he's going to win in 2020. What are you saying? I have an opinion that he's going to win in 2020. What do you mean you believe? Belief, says Rav Hirsch, is an act of the mind. It's an opinion. Every believer, he thinks his beliefs are true. He thinks he's right. I'm right, and we can't both be right, so my belief is true, based on reasoning and assurances. I reason, I'm assured. Nowadays, by the way, 200 years ago, nowadays religion is identified with belief, and belief is thought to be the essence of religion. A religious person believes in principles that can't be grasped by the intellect. Emuna ba is not merely theoretical faith. It is not subordination of the mind. Ha'amin ba'Hashem means, what does it mean? To rely upon God in theory and in practice. To take strength in Him and to follow Him. It doesn't just mean to believe in Him in some theoretical, intellectual realm of your mind because you have an opinion that's backed up by principles. To rely upon God in theory, you say you rely on Him, and then in practice, to take strength in Him and to follow Him. Ha'amin b'Hashem, based on the faith of Avraham Avinu, means to put one's trust in God, to be in God's hand like clay in the potter's hand. That's very, very strong. Why? Because what can the potter do to the clay? Pretty much whatever he wants. And what can the clay do to control the potter? Nothing. That's v'ha'amim b'Hashem. Osha'alo os alzeh. He didn't ask him for a sign. It means this, it's not just the subordination of your mind. So that's what the Mechaber is saying. It's, and you explained it very well, Joanna. Thank you. It's not the alarm clock. And it's not by rote or by habit. It's not from your mind. It's from a deep place, says the Mechaber, of your neshama. To rely upon God in theory and in practice, to take strength in Him and to follow Him. Ha'amin b'Hashem means to put one's trust in God, to be in His hand like clay in the potter's hand. Ama'amin casts his burden upon God, because God is your fashioner, educator, supporter, and guide. He is our fashioner. He fashions our life. He is our educator. He's the Malame Torah L'Am Yisrael. He is our supporter. Poseach Asyadacho, Mespil L'chol Charitzan. And He is my guide. He is my GPS. You know, we started a new class in Queens Monday night. Somebody very worked hard to start a new class in Queens Monday. So when I was driving there, it starts at 8 o'clock. So I left the past 2 weeks. Hashem was very good to me. I had to leave at 7:20. How did I know? Because you put into Waze what time you want to arrive. And it tells you what time you're going to arrive. And I even hit some traffic on the Van Wyck. And I was totally not nervous. Because I said, if Waze tells me that I'm going to be there in 9 minutes, then I'm going to be there in 9 minutes. I thought to myself, it's such a lesson in Avodas Hashem. Very often when I'm taking Waze, I think about this. But just like I'm not nervous with Waze, because I know that when Waze says, I'm going to get there in time. So God is your fashioner, educator, supporter, and guide. In short, a ma'amin entrusts himself entirely to God. It's not to say I believe in Hashem because you have an opinion. It's much more than that. It's recognizing, such a strong analogy, you're like clay in the hands of a potter. And the potter shapes that clay however he wants. He stretches it thin, he makes it into a ball, he can add more water to wet it and reshape it. And the clay is totally an object. The Salvation speaks about man being subject object. Why are you smiling? Because why?
I'm thinking about the chira.
The what?
The chira.
Oh.
Well, then you're not clay.
Then you're something else.
And if you want to make yourself like a piece
of clay,
it's a little harder.
So ultimately, Rabbitson Spiegel, she should have her full shalema, said that you worry about your part and Hashem worries about his part. Bless you, yes.
But I think if you make yourself, because it's tight, if you make yourself like clay, then you're allowing yourself to be limp and shaped. But you don't have to be like clay. You can fight it. You can be a different piece of matter, and then Hashem
right.
can still.
What do you mean? You can fight
it.
What can you fight? You can't fight Ratzon Hashem. You can't fight Hashem's absolute plan. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, Bechira, if your Bechira is not to allow Hashem, if you're fighting,
your Bechira is always eventually going to end up bring God's will to fruition. That's why we're going back to having a problem. But ultimately, your bechira is going to be in tandem with what Hashem wants.
No, but clay is pliable. Like, it could be hard plastic, and then like Hashem still gives what he wants, and you suffered with it. But
right.
clay, like...
Wait, say it again, Joanna.
I'm thinking, like, clay is pliable. Like, you can... When you have the emunah b'tachon that, like, Hashem is doing what's best for you, then you can more easily turn into the final product that... is going to happen because that's Ratzon Hashem.
Let's not forget that at the end the clay goes in fire.
Thank you.
Okay.
yeah.
Like,
yeah, what was the kivshon?
To harden.
Oh, so what was the kivshon ha'esh and the akedah? He took the esh and the ma'achalas. Ur kastim, ur is from Ur, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you. Ur, but it's based on what you said. Ur kastim is the fires of kastim. His first nisayon, according to the Bartanur, was being thrown into Nimrod's fiery furnace. And the last nisayon of Imperach of Beis is putting his son through fire. Vayikach sa ma'achalas. He takes the ma'achalas. The son says to him, here's the Eish and the Machas. Both have the Eish. So the analogy works very well because at the end the potter takes the clay and he puts it in fire. Except that, of course, what happens after it goes in fire? It's much stronger than it was before. Now I know, after the 10th test, said Hashem, now I know you're Yirei Elohim. Now I know you are God-fearing. Don't forget that Yirei Elohim means to see God. And to fear God. After you went through the fire and you emerged even stronger, as the potter destined your destiny, as he shaped your destiny, now you emerged stronger. Let's look at Avraham Avinu. Was he like clay in a potter's hand, or did he try and, what were the words you used? Go against it, I think you said? I don't remember exactly. Fight it. Do you see that Avraham Avinu fought his nisyonos? Kivshan Aish, he jumped in. Lachachame Artscha, at the age of 75, he went. Vayhi Ra'av Ba'aretz. The Medrash says, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu says to God, only after the 10th test, you know Hashem, Hayali Malahashiv, when you came to me and you said, take your son, I had a good question for you. Yesterday you told me, this is the Medrash, Kibi Yitzchakar Lechazara. Today you're telling me, Kachnas Bincha. I had questions for you, I didn't ask. He says, I didn't ask. I was kovish merachim to do your ratzon. So there's a famine in the land. Sarah's taken. We don't see that he fought it, went against it. Is that the words you used? The war of the four kings and the five kings. I don't know. One second. I want to see something. It's interesting. When they're in Egypt and she's taken, and Rashi says they were there for 3 months, Rav Salvechik quotes an opinion that they were there for a few years, we don't see that Avram was proactive in getting her back. It happens in like 5 psukim, so you think they were there for 5 minutes. Right? At the minimum, they were there for 3 months. Salvechik says they were there for much longer than that, but even 3 months is a long time. You don't see Avraham Avinu doing something. Hashem afflicts Paru with great afflictions. And then Paru calls Avram and he says, what did you do? You could say by sending away Hagar and Yishmael, Avram was uncomfortable. Vayira hadavar ma'o be'enei Avram. It just says the matter was bad in his eyes, but he did it. Okay, what did you want to say?
I feel like there's two different things. There's one that's the circumstances that Hashem, that's Hashem doing forming us in flight. The circumstances that we find ourselves in, how bring us the weather, everything that's around us. And then there's the bechira is how we, as an individual,
how we
choose to behave or to act within yeah. those circumstances. There are things that
very
are
nice.
Out of
I was,
control.
Beautiful.
That is Hashem. I guess molding our
beautiful. Hashem arranges the circumstance, and our bechira is how we react
right.
to the circumstance.
Within the circumstance.
Within the circumstance. So I'll give you a perfect example. This just happened to me. I'm not trying to give you TMI. I'm being serious, but okay. So before the 6:14 wake up, I usually wake up in the fives to use the lesion. So what happens when I wake up in the fives is I can't fall back to sleep very often. Why? Because I have to be up in an hour, so then I think of everything I need to do. So I get aggravated. So what happens when I'm aggravated? I for sure can't sleep. I'm thinking about the hour of sleep I could have. So this morning, and I wasn't trying to do reverse psychology on myself. When I woke up, first I thought, here we go, my usual time. Then I thought, Baruch Hashem, I'm awake. Baruch Hashem, I could walk. Baruch Hashem, I could use the facilities. Baruch Hashem, I could see when I turned on light. I was so not aggravated. You have to know, I fell right back asleep after I went back to bed for another hour till 6:14. So what? But I wasn't trying to do reverse psychology. Your explanation is excellent. The situation is the situation. My reaction is my choice. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and that's our prize. We're not there to change all the external factors. We just have to, what does Hashem want from me right now to do in these circumstances?
Very nice. And what does it say? By the Akedah, the 10th and final test. Vayashkem Avraham Boker Vayachavosh as Chamaro. And he takes his two lads with him. He wakes up early in the morning. That's his reason. This goes back to the Mishnah Berurah. That's his reaction to the situation as orchestrated by the Ribono Shel Olam. Hold your comment for a minute. Will you remember?
I think so.
I just want to quote a couple more sentences. Let's just finish this piece by Shem Fal Hirsch. One who replies Amen after Bracha, Amen, Amuna, obviously it's the same Shoresh, Kel Melech Ne'aman, does not merely declare the statement to be true. It's not a statement that it's true. It's not an intellectual opinion that you believe it's true. He devotes himself to the truth. Amen means I devote myself to the truth. It is in my heart. I adopt it as my guide for conduct. Amen refers, listen to this, this is very important. How many times a day do you say Amen? Amen refers not to the, it depends how much you're with people during the day. Amen refers not to the content of the statement, but to the person who hears and accepts it. Amen does not refer to the content of the statement, but to the person who hears and declares Amen. Amen is about you, that you affirm and live by and devote yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam. Now here it says of Avram Avinu v'ha'amin b'Hashem, he entrusted himself completely and unconditionally to God's direct guidance, direct, revealed, hashkacha pratis. Quote, he entrusted himself completely and unconditionally, lo sha'alo os alzeh, he didn't ask him for an os, to God's direct guidance. God led him outside, v'yetzo so achutza, he raised him. What does it mean? V'yetzo so achutza, so Rashi says, Rav Shem Shem Falish doesn't have Rashi, Rashi says, one of the interpretations of Rashi, the little interpretation is he took him outside and he said, look up, if you've ever seen the night sky, especially in Eretz Yisrael in the desert, it's not describable. And it says, Uspar ha-kochavim nebuch, we see five stars because of light pollution. So you think that's ko yezarech. When you see the night sky in the desert, it's not to be believed. But one shot of Rashi is, Hashem took him above the heavens and said, look down. So he took him outside, above the heavens, look down, say Chazal, and see. Hashem raised him above the earthly reality of a natural world and showed him a concrete reality that emerged directly from the will of God. There are two realities. There's the reality we perceive here, which is an earthly reality of a natural world. And there's another reality, a whole other reality. It's a concrete, that means a very real, tangible, it exists reality that emerges directly from the will of God. And that's two different things, because sometimes we perceive a reality that's not really a reality. And God said, so shall your seed be, ko yezarecha. Israel's creation and existence will depend directly on God, without any premise, and even against all natural calculation. Just as his dependents will descendants will depend on God alone, Avram preceded his descendants with this amuna and illuminated the way for us. Interesting. Ur kastim, or his journey began with illumination. When did the illumination occur? When he was sown into the Kivshan Eish. And Rashi says, by the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Rashi says, whoever puts himself into the furnace, amenas neis, who expecting to be saved, a neis won't be done for him. So when Avram Avinu threw himself into the fiery furnace, he believed that his life was over. Yeah, who wanted to say something? I said, hold your comments.
Oh, before, very unrelated now, but
sorry.
I heard Esther Bailish work today on the parsha. I don't even know how she had it. Sarah 127, that she was, like, the way she was at 100 was the same as she was at 20, the same as she was at 7. It was that her perspective on life, she, wherever stage, however difficult her life was, at each age and stage, she had a very good outlook, and she felt the same way, and she had a very good attitude. She was...
Who says that?
I heard from Esther Bailey Schwartz.
Very nice.
So...
Just like a seven-year-old has, you know, what does mom say?
Not even a seven-year-old.
Not even,
Michal, not even a seven-year-old. Pardon. At, like, maybe life was good at 7, or it was hard at 7, and or it was good at 20, or not good at 20. People, like, want to go relive, like, oh, those were the good years. Every year for her was a good year. Every day, every stage, every, you know, all the trials and tribulations and her infertility and all those things.
And she was taken by Paro?
She always had a good outlook on life. She
okay, very nice.
People. So,
very nice.
What you do with your circumstances. So.
Rav Salve, do you want to say something at the end, please? Okay, every insight leads to more insight, so don't be shy. One second. Rambam, this is on Bereshis, at the end of Parshas Bereshis, when people start to forget about Hashem. The Rambam, in his beginning of his biography to Avraham Avinu, which is the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, talks about people start how people forgot about Hashem and how they became idol worshippers. When they began to forget about Hashem, oh, he's quoting the Rambam. Okay. Rambam enumerates a triple estrangement from God. God's name first vanishes from man's lips. So that's the externality. Interesting. At the level of externality, you stop talking about Hashem. But you could say, even though I'm not talking about Hashem, I still believe in him, in my opinion. I still feel him. Then, listen to this. Then, God disappeared from man's awareness. So first, the external level leaves. But someone could say, I don't talk about Hashem, I don't daven to Hashem, but I still am aware of Hashem. First disappeared, vanishes from man's lips, Hashem's name. Then Hashem disappeared from awareness. And finally, man forfeits his ability to recognize God because of Hashem's name. Yosef, why did Yosef always have emunah? Shem Shamayim 39:3, Rashi, Vayar Potiphar. Potiphar saw that everything he did, Hashem Matzliach, he was always Matzliach. And Rashi tells us about Yosef, Shem Shamayim Shagur Bafiv. He's always had the name of Hashem in his lips. We see that the external reminders are very important. Those external reminders get us to where we need to be, but it's not enough. You need to be aware of Hashem, and that's not enough. You need to recognize God. The fundamental commandment of Judaism, that's what we were talking about, the fundamental commandment of community, fundamental commandment of Judaism. Rav Shem Shor Falhirsch says the essence of Yehadus is Amunah. The fundamental commandment of Judaism, V'ha'amim b'Hashem, is not simply to know God. Listen to how this fine distinction, but to be aware of Him. Not enough to know him, to be aware of him. You could know somebody exists and never think about them. Isn't that true? Somebody lives on the other side of the world. You know they exist, but maybe you never think about them. You have to know Hashem and be aware of him. We may compare human awareness of God, that's why he brought up a seven-year-old, interesting, with a mother's awareness of her child. It is not intermittent. It's not transient. A mother is constantly aware of this being. It's a permanent state of mind. Even when you can't see the child, you're aware of the child. Even when they feel apart from you, you're constantly aware of the child. It's a steady, acute awareness of God's presence. Steady, acute, always being aware. We speak, Shem Shemayim Shagur Bafiv. We know. But it's more than that. It's constantly being aware of Hashem. It cleanses us from vulgarity, from coarseness, from shamelessness, from indecent behavior. It's true. It's ennobling. When Rambam says God vanished from the minds of the idol worshippers, they lost all awareness. Dismissing God leads to the loss of moral code. Yes. Yes.
I see it also the other way, though.
Okay.
I see that someone who is very internally aware of Hashem thinks about him and talks about him and uses Hashem when they speak. So I think you can externally internalize, but I think also somebody who has internalized it externally demonstrates it.
You're saying the internality comes first? I don't understand.
I don't know if it comes first, but you were saying that in Bereshit, they stopped talking about Hashem, they stopped being aware of Hashem, they stopped internalizing it. But and then Yosef was always speaking about Hashem.
Okay.
But I think that was more of a reflection that Yosef was very... Yosef internalized Hashem, so he thought about Hashem and spoke about Hashem.
Correct. So therefore, what are you saying?
It wasn't outside going in.
You're saying which comes first, the externality, the internality? Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to understand.
No, I just...
The connection.
Well, you were saying that you.
I think we're saying the same thing.
The same thing, but I think the process I think was different. I think someone who's not thinking about Hashem is not going to talk about it. Not that you're not talking about Hashem, you don't think about him.
But then there's also the mitoch shel lishma balishma, that sometimes if you push yourself to do something that you don't necessarily feel naturally inclined to do from the external behavior, natural tendencies can emerge. I think it goes both ways. Some people maybe have the natural inclination first internally and then the external follows, and maybe for some people the external brings about the internal. But lamaisa, if you're not progressing in either direction to the end point, think of someone who stops the external force. One day they don't daven, then the next day they don't daven because this time they're busy. Maybe they're really, it's an emergency. Then the next day, and then the next day. And in 3 months...
Is that better?
Yes.
I think also in conversation, like people say, Baruch Hashem, and Yirtzeh Hashem, I know a lot of B'siyata D'Shemaya, and a lot of people do it by rote, they don't always think about it, but it is bringing, I guess it's having Hashem, Shabbor B'fiv, I guess, like on our lips. But, and once in a while...
So therefore what?
Well, it is maybe a mental habit or
sometimes the habit is not like what Joanna was saying. You do it by habit without thinking about it.
But once in a while, maybe we'll actually maybe the kavana will.
I want to tell you something interesting. My 5-year-old, almost 5-year-old, nephew's 5-year-old in a month, was at my house a couple of weeks ago on Friday night. My brother went to show around the corner, so my niece and my nephew could come. You know, when their father was in shul. So I said Tehillim, and I walked into the kitchen, and I put my Tehillim down on the counter. He looks at me, he says, "You forgot to give it a kiss." He was so upset. Like, I said, "You're right." And I gave it a kiss. So sometimes what you're saying, okay, that's an example of that we always have to be cognitively and cognizant of everything that we're doing. Yeah, what did you want to say after?
No, even when it's, even when we're not so cognizant, I think it's still, I guess, some type of level of Hashem in our life, even if obviously higher levels always mean it, but it sounds like what we were saying before, that just having Hashem, that having him in our discussions is one madriga, one level.
Okay, so I just want to end with because we're running out of time. Avram Avinu lived a life of contradiction. It's interesting that Hashem says, "Go to the land, vayhi rav ba'aretz." Immediately, there's a famine in the land. I'm going to give this land to your children. The Canaanim are in the land. Oh, you have to wait 400 years till their dues are up, till your kids come, you know, your children will come back. The Midrash says, you know, yesterday you told me through Yitzchak you will have children. Today you tell me, kach nes bincha. Avram Avinu's life is full of contradictions. The Erev Soloveitchik says he was, had Avram Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umma Yisraeli's faith means, and I've quoted this so many times, not only to believe, but not to ask. Because sometimes our questions, and even though they're very strong, don't have answers. And Avram Avinu, whatever the command was, he certainly was like clay in the potter's hand. And the analogy is so good because at the end he went through the fire. Atayadati, now I know you see God, Yare Elokim, and you truly fear the Ribono Shel Olam. You came out much harder. It's fascinating to note that once the Akedah's over, Avraham Avinu's career, so to speak, is just about over. His left tafkid is in Perachav Gimel to bury Sarah. The Akedah's in Perachav Beis. The burial of Sarah and the loss of Sarah, not in that order, on Perachav Gibel. By Perachav Dalet, it's Yitzchak and the Nech Shirach. So his whole tafkid was to pass one fire after another till it came out the person who was, even when it didn't make sense. even when it didn't make sense, because a lot of his life was full of contradiction. But we see he submitted his Ratzon absolutely to Ratzon Hashem. Are we on that Madrega? Do we try and fight Ratzon Hashem? But I love what you said. It's beautiful. Hashem puts us in a situation. Our Bechira relates to how we react, act, and respond to the situation. I'm going to just end by quoting a paragraph from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. First, he quotes the Kad HaKemach and an approach to Bitachon. And then, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says, this approach to Bitachon, Bitachon relates to Emunah. I don't want to start talking right now about Bitachon and Emunah, but generally they do go hand in hand. We've been speaking about Emunah. Why are you smiling? You want to talk about Bitachon and Emunah?
No.
To be continued. This approach to Bitachon does not attempt to scatter the clouds of misfortune. Listen carefully to every word. When Avraham Avinu was commanded to take Yitzchak, he did not know the Malach was going to call out and say, stop. The moment he was commanded, it's as if, says Rav Soloveitchik, Yitzchak was sacrificed. What do we call the Akedas Yitzchak? We don't call it Akedas Ha'ayel. Akedas Yitzchak. No, my point is, it's not. We don't consider the ram to have been sacrificed. We consider, what do we say in the Yamim Ram? Akedas Yitzchak Hayom Berachamim Tizkor. It's as if Yitzchak, the moment, says Rav Soloveitchik, he was commanded, it's as if Yitzchak was gone. He didn't know the angel was going to call out and say, stop. This approach to Bitachon does not attempt to scatter the clouds of misfortune. It does not try to raise expectations. It does not strive to whitewash a dark future. It does not claim, this is bad to end with because there's no time for questions or comments. It's food for thought. It does not claim it will all work out for the best, either individually or nationally. On the contrary, Bitachon expresses a steadfast commitment. Even if the outcome will be bad, even if I have to shach my son, even if all these promises don't seem to add up, we will remain reliant on and connected to God. And that's really why Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch and how he explains it. We put our whole self in the hands of Hashem. Amen is not about amen and the declaration of faith. Amen is about the person who submits his entire being to the Ribono Shel Olam. We will remain faithful until the end. And we will not exchange our trust in God for dependence on man. This approach does not claim God will always remain at our side. And I think of the Holocaust and Hester Panim. Rather, it asks us to remain at his side. We should be zocha to revealed Hashkacha Pratis. We should be zocha that on the Yurtzeit of Rachel Imenu, Vishavu Banim Gvulam. Does anyone have questions or comments, even though we're out of time? Yes.
Oh, just about the Shema Shem Shagar Pip. I work with the doctors always saying, yeah, I'm doing, thank God, and the Scottish person I work with was like, you know, he always says, like, thank God, like, is he, like, really, like, is he, like, a very religious person? And it was, like, to me, it was very humbling. I'm like, I must not say enough.
Interesting.
But it was...
You become used to it. But in a positive way.
No, in a very positive way. She was very, like, impressed by it. Like,
anything else, ladies? Okay, besoros tovus for everyone.